also a blessing to have the youngest married couple in the church here, too, if I remember right. Just want to throw it in there because I can. Anyways, so let's appreciate Brother Melvin and the message that he has.
All right. Everyone keeps asking, well, how are you doing? Well, I'm doing 15 pounds heavier than I was 2 months ago. That ought to tell you something. I like chips and dip and popcorn, but every once in a while when you throw in a hamburger or a good fried chicken or something like that, it's pretty good, too. Did you live on chip and dip and popcorn? Did I like it? Do I like what I'm doing now better? So that's how that all works out. One of the scariest things, this is nerves, one of the scariest things about preaching is not being in tune with the Lord and not having the message He wants you to have. And when you get to hear the song service and the special, and the title of my message is No Greater Love. All I can say is, thank you, Lord. Truth of the matter is, I did not love God when I got saved. I knew I was going to hell, and rightly so, and didn't want to. I also knew, for some reason, Jesus died in payment for my sin. He willingly gave Himself. I knew that. And I knew that if I would ask Him, believing, He would take my sin away and the penalty for my sin away. Amen. And I wouldn't have to go to hell. Right. And I wanted that. Amen. But then, in the 60 plus years since then, my, how I love Him. And since we're full force into Valentine's season, I want us to look at the subject of love. We tend to use the word loosely. I do. We take the meaning of the word for granted. Or else, some people, I believe, never truly even learn what true love is. The Bible is the greatest book ever written on the subject of love. It contains the greatest love story ever written. That a righteous God shows His love for fallen mankind through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Jesus Christ's definition is centered around the word love. All we are, all we have, all we have ever been, or all we will ever be, will be because of the love of Jesus Christ for each of us. I think many fail to understand this important principle of the love of God for us. I've come up with three words that I don't use a lot because you have to be alliterated. So as you hear these words, that's because you got to say something that fits, and that's what it is. And the first one is going to be the marvelousness of His love. Now, I don't use that word a lot, but boy, His love is marvelous. It really is. And the marvelous love of Jesus never changes. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, we'll begin reading in 35, verse 35. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. I'm sure thankful you folks are here today. I'm glad you are. You can take that personally. I scanned the audience while I was up here, supposed to be singing. And there's not a person here that I'm sorry you're here. I'm so thankful. I appreciate it so much. I really do. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Father, please be with us now. Help me to say what you once said, but nothing that you don't. Open each of our hearts to receive your message that we can leave here newly in awe by the marvelous love of Jesus Christ. His love for us, how much you loved us that you would give your own Son. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The love of Christ is marvelous in its measure. I know if you've been saved any length of time, you feel like God loves you more than other people. But it's just not true. God loves us all the same. He loves every person. He died for every person's sin. He loved you enough to die to pay for your sin because that's how much He loves you. 2 Corinthians 5:14 and 15 says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. John 15:13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. God loves you personally. That's a marvelous thing. It's marvelous in its meaning. Christ's love is a simple one. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Jesus Christ went voluntarily to an old rugged cross, bore the sins of the entire world so that you and I might have the opportunity to accept that offer of God's love through His Son, Jesus Christ. We can have eternal life and be spared from the just hell we deserve because He loves us. He made it so because of His love. He could have made it where we had to accomplish some massive feat or something. But He didn't, because He loves you too much. Because of His great love for you, salvation is a gift. No one will force you, nor can anyone force you to be saved. While it's a gift, you have to accept it. No one can make you. You must request it. And then accept it in order to be a partaker of it. Do you want the love of God? Yes. I mean, do you really want the love of God? Then ask Him for it. Accept it. And enjoy it.
Amen.
Now, we understand repentance comes in there. And I don't want to make it seem like you just skip along. But, folks, God loved you so much, He did the work for you so that you can be saved and enjoy a life in Jesus Christ. He won't demand you or anyone else except Him. But He will demand for you to enter heaven that you have the blood of Jesus Christ applied to you.
That's right. Amen.
When Helen and I started sparking, I don't know what to call it. I know you're not supposed to say dating, but courting sounds corny. Sparking is what old people did, and I are old people. But one of the things I told her was this: don't try to make me jealous. Because if you want to start, you know, acting like you're interested in someone else, my attitude, though it may break my heart, is, go ahead. I won't compete for your attention, for your affection, for your love. Now leave her alone now. But I refused to force my affection on her. I wanted her to accept it. Because that's how you receive true love.
Amen.
Is when people just receive it. And that's what God wants out of you and I. He wants us to just receive His love.
Amen.
To accept it. To take it in and enjoy it. It's a marvelous message. While Christ died for all men, while the meaning of His love is so that you can have a chance to accept Him as your Savior, it's also consistent in its message. You must be saved to be a partaker of His love. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's just accepting His love gift for you. Do you believe that Jesus died for your sins? Do you believe that He was raised to prove Himself to you? Do you believe that for the asking, He truly, if you'll repent of your sins, just asking, Lord, I'm a sinner and I'm sorry and I want You to forgive me. Do you think He'll do that for you?
Amen.
Only because He loves you. Only because He loves you. Not because you're worthy. Not because you're more notable than someone else. Brother, it's because He loves you. He loves you. And because His love is so marvelous, every man, woman, boy and girl can know Him as personal Savior.
Amen.
His love is not exclusive.
That's right.
It's inclusive to you if you'll accept Him.
That's right.
Some people all the time want to be exclusive. Exclude this one, exclude that one. My attitude is if you're going to start excluding people, start with me, because I'm going to not make the list sometime or other anyway. So let's just get it over and not worry about it. But I don't have to worry about that on God's list. Hallelujah. He loved me when I was a punk teenager on my way to hell, deservedly, knew I was going and had no intention of changing my route until God's love crashed in on top of me. Until I saw what I was, where I was going, and what He did for me. I was going to hell, rightly so. But that punk that had no merit, no worth, no desire, God loved him enough to die for him. That's marvelous. That's just marvelous. That God could love a sinner such as I. And He loves you that much. I'm not unique in that in any way, shape, or form, nor is anyone else. If someone comes and tries to tell you that only certain people can be saved, you tell them they're nuts.
Amen.
Because they don't know my Savior.
Amen.
Jesus died for the whole world.
Amen.
And that includes you.
Amen.
And so don't you worry about the fact of are you one of the included. Yes, you are.
Amen.
And that should be marvelous in your sight.
Amen.
You don't have to go to hell. You can go to heaven because God loves you.
Amen.
And He loves you in a way that no other can. His love is matchless love. Matchless in that no other person can love you and I the way Jesus loves us. Love is beyond, His love is beyond compare. I don't know why, but I am so blessed that I have been loved in my life. When heartbreak has come into my life, there have been people who were willing to just show their love for me.
Amen.
Years ago, I stood right there. When my daughter had died, unexpectedly, and I was devastated. But praise God, I knew where she went.
Amen.
And I knew God loved me. But as folks passed by her closed casket and loved on me, I had makeup smeared on me from one in rough suit. Boy, let it go. Because I was loved on this side and I was loved on that side. And although the devil meant that to defeat me and to destroy me, what it did was this. Never, ever, ever could he cause me to even for a second doubt that I am loved.
Amen.
By him first, but by many others also. His love tops it all. Though I have been loved by many, his is best. It is matchless. And it's necessary. Here in our text, it lists several trials. Verse 35. Can these things separate you from the love of God? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulations? We will be tried. Distress? It may be physical distress, spiritual distress, emotional, even financial. Folks, in your darkest days, Jesus is there. And He loves you.
Amen.
Persecution. My life, I've not been persecuted much. But see, I'm dense enough, I have a hard time. I remember the first time someone tried to mock my Christianity. I got saved between my junior and senior year of high school. And I started back, you know, school my senior year. And in gym class, there's a couple of my buddies sitting up there on the bleachers when we were supposed to be doing other stuff. And one of them said, "Hey, Melvin, come here. And I started over there. And the other one said, no, don't tell him that joke. He's a Sunday school boy." And I thought, wow, they found out. Good. I didn't know they were trying to belittle me. See, that's the way it is with me. If you're mad at me or you're trying to belittle, you have to first say, "Hey, Melvin Williams, I'm mad at you." And then you can say hurtful things and I'll cry. But if you think you're going to get me with these little I can't even say the word. If you think you're going to hint mad at me, forget it. I won't get it. Just doesn't soak in. But we can be persecuted. Famine. Obviously, most of us around here, we don't worry too much about famine. But it's a real thing. Famine is a real thing. Nakedness. Peril. More and more common in our way of life. Dangers. You know, there's nuts out there that want to kill you. It's real. Sword. We may one day even die for the cause of Christ. But I guarantee you this. Things that can separate us from loving Christ will not separate us from Him loving us. All these things may cause our love for Him to wane, but it'll never cause His love for us to be diminished one bit.
Amen.
He loves us in a matchless way. Through all these things in verse 35, the Bible says we're counted as sheep for the slaughter. God's children through the ages have been hated, despised by the world, by enemies of God. But Christ's love is greater than our enemies.
Amen.
Paul in Acts 20 said it well when he said this, verse 23. Say that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of grace of God. Paul had some trials, didn't he? Paul went through some tough stuff. But the worst of what he went through was nothing to him because of the love of his Lord. It was matchless. Nothing could compare. History gives us stories of countless people. If you ever get to thinking you're abused above measure, get Fox's Book of Christian Martyrs and read a few pages. Well, have you ever just sat down and read the whole thing? Never have been able to. I get to feeling unworthy and so self-centered and so wicked that these other folks could love God and I whine about my situation. Shame on Melvin Williams. When the love of God is shed abroad on me like it is, that I worry about me. One account. One young lady, her family was being murdered for the cause of Christ. And she was with child. So they set her aside and didn't kill her. And she was so distraught that she was counted unworthy to die for Jesus. That's how much she loved Him and wanted to please Him. Come on. Completely contrary to our way of thinking in our self-centered, babyish Christianity that we live in. Trials can come, but all they can't separate us from God's love, because His love is so mighty. The mightiestness of His love. The love of my Savior has for me is one that enables me to be more than conquerors, but only through Him. Verse 37 says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Let's keep the strength, let's keep the love, let's keep the power where it belongs. It is not in here, it is in Him. Amen. I know what I am. And in your heart of hearts, you know what you are. Amen. And if we get in ourselves enough, we'll prove what we are. But in Him, we're more than conquerors. Amen. He has the strength. We don't. He is able. We're not. His love conquered death, hell, and the grave. That's the power that's in Him. He went to Calvary for you and I. His love can conquer sorrow with joy. I mentioned Elaine's death. I do that a lot. I still think about it a lot. It's been a long time. I still think about it a lot. But in the night when I started praying, God, don't let the sun come up. Before the sun came up, I was thanking God and looking forward to the opportunity to please Him. Not because of my spirituality, not because of my strength, but because of the love of the Savior towards us. Amen. His love can conquer our pain. Physical, emotional, spiritual pain with rest. He gives His beloved rest. <laughs> His love conquered hell with heaven. That's a pretty good switch. Not only am I not going to hell, not only do you not have to go to hell, we can go to heaven! Wow, what a switch. What a trade. What a wonderful thing. His love conquered sin by His selfless will. Lord, if it be possible, let this cup, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, Thy will be done. He died for your sin. And He conquered your sin by His selfless will. While the things mentioned here in verse 35 might separate us from loving Christ as we should, or as we once did, notice that it never separates us from His love for us. Here, Paul points out, neither death, nor life, nor principalities, nor powers. That's all the unseen demons, all the unseen world, none of that. Nor things present, nothing right now, nor things to come, nothing in the future, to be all inclusive, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You are loved today. And because of His great, mighty love, Christ's love, not ours, I know that I can withstand whatever comes my way, but only with the help of my Savior can I withstand. Folks, let's not be foolish enough to stand on our own strength. We don't have to. We just don't have to. We have Him. You remember as a kid when you got scared and your mama would put her arm around you? Or someone was hassling you? See, I had, you guys, I feel sorry for you. I had the toughest dad that was ever born. He was the biggest, strongest, meanest man when you messed with me that ever was. There's a side to that because when I messed with him, he was still at me. But we won't go into that. Let me tell you something. When Dad stood up for Melvin, it was okay. But I have a greater than my earthly father who still stands up for me. Now, my dad had to do it because of my knuckleheadedness. God just does it because He loves me.
Amen.
God loves you. And He, His might makes Him sufficient in all these things. Do you see how there could be no greater love than that of Jesus Christ? Do you see that today? No greater love. Lost person, if you're here and have never experienced the love of God, let me explain something to you. Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." There's no greater love shown for you than if you'll just come and accept God's love, repent of your sin, trust Him to be your Savior. God can and will forgive you, clean you up, and make you fit for heaven because of His love.
Amen.
What a marvelous thing. What a wonderful thing. He hung on the cross for your sins. He wants you to be saved today. Will you let yourself experience the love of God? Will you let yourself do it? Or will your pride and foolishness keep you away from God? Christian, have you lost your remembrance of the love that Jesus has for you? Been reminded today in the songs, I hope in the message, Jesus loves you. Why don't you, if it's grown cold and you've gotten used to the love of God, why don't you come and rediscover His love for you today? How long has it been since you've got on your face before God and truly said, God, because of your love for me, I love you? Because, see, when we love Him, we want to please Him. When we love Him, we want to do for Him. That's what love is, isn't it? Do you love God today? How long has it been since you told God you love Him? Let's all stand. Father, as we come before You in prayer at this invitation time, dear God, would You cause us to search ourselves and see how much we reflect Your love for us. Oh Lord, those precious folks that are here that haven't accepted You yet, would You please touch their hearts, cause them to want to come and experience Your great love for them. Then Lord, those of us who have experienced that love, and maybe we've gotten comfortable, accustomed to, or even shunning Your great love for us, would You cause us to open our hearts to You, repent of our sins, and come and seek Your face today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God's dealing with you. We sing page number 268. There's room.